I'm very sure if a drunkard was passing by there, he would have thought that was a beer hall and he would have come in. It would have been nice if he comes in because we will preach to him. But let's read it now with more clarity and louder so that we can communicate what exactly it says, okay? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. That is a very, very powerful theme right there. And I don't know whether many of us have taken time to seriously consider what exactly the Lord is talking to us about. I know you have read that verse many times, and I'm going to try to keep very, very close to that verse. But I do feel the reason why the Lord is speaking to us so powerfully, it is because there are certain things probably he would like us to make adjustment on, because he has seen probably some molding, he has seen some rusting, he has seen some sluggishness, he has seen some slothfulness in our dealing with him. And he thinks that at this moment, the only way we can become successful in what he has called us to do is by recalling us so that we may reason together with him. Praise the name of Jesus. That is what he says in Isaiah. Is this Isaiah 1:8? That he says that, come, let us reason together. Though your sins may be as red as those chairs of JMU, Grafton Stovall Auditorium, I will make them as white as the wall behind me. Praise the name of Jesus. I know it's not as white. But he says that I will make them as white as wool or as snow. It does not matter how bad the situation is. Praise the name of Jesus. He says that I am the only one that is able to change a situation that has been old to make it new again. Hallelujah. You know, there is this game that we all always play on the computer that we call solitaire. How many people have played solitaire? Oh, you are too saved. You never play games? How many people have played solitaire? Seriously. You know what I am talking about. Tulikuwa tunasema ni yule mchezo wa karata ya computer. Karata, you know, kadi. Ilikuwa kadi. Sindio? And probably you don't play it anymore. I still do play it. I'm old school. Maybe you have graduated to something else. But I still play solitaire. And solitaire has one thing that we call reset or undo. Or it has, you can reset the whole game when you make moves and then you come to a dead end, isn't it? Then when you really feel that I cannot keep on going because all the moves that need to be done are already exhausted and I cannot move forward, you reset it. And then it goes back to the original. Praise the name of Jesus. There is also a reset button in most of our gadgets that we have. The technologists, they create this equipment and they put a button there that when you press a reset button, it goes back, it erases everything that has been done and caused the areas that had caused the gadget or the computer or the system to go awry. And then when you reset it, it goes back to a better place where it can now start moving on in the right direction. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah, I have to find that verse now. The Lord is speaking and he's saying that a donkey knows its feeding trough, and an oxen knows its owner, but my people do not know whom they belong to. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. And then he says that when they fall, they never rise again. They just swallow in the dirt. They never try to get up. They never try to lift themselves up. You know, when I was growing up as a young boy in the village, one of the things that we knew was that there were two things, primary things in the village that were known to be able to live for a long time, even after a very devastating or a tragedy happens. One is a cat and a kehe or a boy. Those two, they are able to survive any circumstance or condition. A boy is hit by a car and he just gets up and dusts himself off and runs away. He cannot sit there at Mnamchekelea. No, he is not there to be embarrassed. We used to go, you know, fetching firewood. And our boy climbs the tree, the tallest one. And, you know, you feel like you are macho because you are the highest in the forest. You can see everything. And then you make some silly move. And then that the branch that you're stepping on, it breaks. And you start now sliding down like, you are being peeled from the tree. And when you are coming down, the boy is there, you know, screaming, "Oh, help me, oh yeah." And then when you are able to stabilize yourself and stepping on a stronger branch, you say, "King Kakun." That time it was Wang Yu and all those kind of things. You remember those movies? Bruce Lee. He's King Kakun, Wang Yu, Bruce Lee. Now you feel like you are you are everything. I mean, you are macho. And as if nothing was happening. That time you have bruises all over you. And then when you go home, you don't even want to show. You are pretending that everything is okay. When the parent is nearby, you are walking, you know, you are walking in a style, sort of. But you don't want to limp. As soon as the parent passes, then you are able to limp. You cannot hold yourself together. They wanted to show that, you know, I am not the one that should be pulled down because of this small inconvenience. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. But the people of God have a problem. Because when we fall, we never rise up. We keep on sitting where we are and seem as if things are okay. We never come to God. There was a time that God was so mad and he was saying that I have tried to bring them calamity, yet they will never turn back to me. And what a shame it is that God has to be moved to bring calamity to us in order for him to catch our attention. He says, I'm doing a new thing. Amen. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. I want you now to really get into it. So that you don't continue in the old, the things that you have continued doing over and over and over and over, and you have not realized any successes. He says that it is time. Praise the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor it is time. He says that, don't you know it? Can't you see it? Are you so blind that you cannot see that I am now doing a new thing? Praise the name of Jesus. Let me see the Lancaster people. Are the Lancaster people here? Ah, you see? Praise the name of Jesus. I am sure that by the end of this conference, probably we are going to have the largest crowd from Lancaster. 2 years ago, I told you that Lancaster, tumefika mwisho. And we say, unless a seed dies, it remains alone. And you say, we're going to let Lancaster die. So that when it now starts rising, it will germinate to become a big tree, blossom to produce many fruits. Let me tell you, where is my brother chairman, Brother Gideon Sakuda? Stand up right there. Lancaster is on fire. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Lancaster is on fire, and I'm sure that we will see that. Mr. President, I'm just giving you a pointer here because I know we haven't gotten through these all the chapters together. But I do believe that there is, you will see how this, how that chapter has really grown. And I am telling you, God really had to do something new in that chapter. And everything, when he pressed the reset button, we have seen great things happening in Lancaster. Praise the name of Jesus. I want us now to think about a few things before I go towards that theme so that I can finish. And I know that I don't have too much time to speak. I know today Mr. President has declared that we are all going to keep time. We have declared many times, and I am going to be the one that is going to keep time today. Let's read from verse 1 of Isaiah 43. And I'm going to walk through that very, very quickly. And I'm going to read up to verse 6 or 7. This is what the word of God says. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you, and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. That is what the Lord is saying before he started speaking about what he wants to see or what he wants to do with his people. First and foremost, he says that I, the Lord, who created you, I want to tell you today that fear not, for I have redeemed you. Praise the name of Jesus. He has given us a redemption that nothing on earth could have given us the redemption like the one that we received from the Lord himself. I want to say that the redemption of the Lord cannot be compared with any other kind of redemption that the people on earth or the material of earth can give. And he says that, therefore, because I have redeemed you, I have called you so that you may become mine. And therefore, I would like you now to start living your life as though you do not possess or own yourself. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Bwana sifiwe sana. God himself knows you. And the reason why we are talking about doing a new thing, or the Lord doing a new thing, is because many people do not know whom they belong to. They do not know to whom they belong. That's what I wanted to say. And the life that they live, they struggle with themselves, thinking that I am the mimi ndiye mwanzo na mimi ndiye mwisho. They think that I own every process, I own every system in my life, I own myself, I own my children, I own my job, I own my cars, I own my property. You own yourself through and through. But God is saying that you are not your own. Praise the name of Jesus. And therefore, it is not, and I repeat, your responsibility to keep yourself. Because when you keep yourself, you keep yourself in the rut. You keep yourself in the same pit. You keep yourself in the same circumstance. You keep yourself in the same place. You will never move forward. And God is saying that because I own you. That's what he says. Fear not. Fear not the circumstances in your life. Praise the name of Jesus. Fear not what is happening around you. Fear not what people will speak about you. I know sometimes, yeah, we really worry much about what people will say, Brother Robbie, about ourselves. And somebody, you know, someone said that if you only knew that people would care less about what you know, who you are, then you will worry less about what they think about you. And I have come to realize that is true. There are times when I walk in a place and I feel very conscious of myself. And I think everybody is looking at me, and then I look, and then I see that they are looking at something else that is very far from where I am. And that is exactly what it is. Many people really live their lives because other people are watching them, because other people are telling them that, or they hear people talking about certain things, and they feel that now I really have to conform, or I have to move. But God is saying that you are not owned by those people. You are not owned by those circumstances. You are not owned by things that are happening in your life. You are owned by God himself. And he says that now I have really let you wallow. And now time has come. I'm going to adjust some certain things in your life. I'm going to change certain things in your life, that you may now start blossoming and becoming a tree that is able to bring forth fruit. Praise the name of Jesus. And somebody else somewhere, he said that if you cannot be a tree that brings forth fruit, at least be a tree that is able to provide shade. There are people who really are, they don't produce fruit and they do not produce shade. Isn't it shameful? I wish that as I wait for my fruit to show, at least someone will find, you know, rest under the shade of my, you know, of my blossom. Amen. You really look probably sometimes beautiful. And you are, and people really admire you. But really there is nothing that they can gain out of your companionship and your relationship with them. And God is saying that this is not supposed to be. I own you, you should produce fruits. Amen. People must find something out of you that they can pluck out and take away home and be able to be blessed or bless someone else. You should not continue in your own self or with your own strength. Praise the name of Jesus. He says that I own you. I have called you by your name. You may be Wanjiro, or you may be Atieno, you may be Mothaka, you may be Ongeno. It does not matter what your name is. God called you by that name. Hallelujah. Owado Osano. Iwinjo. That's what the Lord is saying. Then he continues to say, you should not remain in your rut. Praise the name of Jesus. This is what I'm trying to say. Because the problem with the people of Israel is that they, when the Lord took them out of Egypt and he placed them in the wilderness, they thought that this is the end of everything. They went round, round and round in the wilderness for 40 years. Wow. And I imagine for all the 40 years that I have lived, how much I have struggled. And I know that they struggled more than I have struggled. And then I start imagining a boy that was born the same year that I was born. And we were going round and round for 40 years. I don't know what. I had to move from my father's house and go out somewhere. And I had to leave Kenya, come to the United States within all those 40 years that I have lived. But the children of Israel, for 40 years, they went round and round and round. When you go round and round one place, let me tell you, what do you create? A rat. You know rat? What do you call it? It's not a rat, not R-A-T. You know the problem with us? We cannot differentiate rat, and... I'm not talking about R-A-R-T. I'm talking about L-U-T. Oh, did I say L-A-R-T? I am a Kikuyu. Rart. No, I'm talking about R-A-T. That's what I'm talking about. R-A-T. No. Don't correct me because I know what I'm saying. When I said R-A-R-T, I meant R-A-T. That's what I'm saying. But I am not talking about that R-A-T, I'm talking about R-U-T. Praise God. That people stick and stay in the same rut like the children of Israel. And now your existence becomes boring. It becomes mundane. It becomes, you know, that continuous, impotent, and unsuccessful, very dead kind of lifestyle. When you keep on going around the same place, around the same, village. I see my friend over here, Pastor Mbijiwe Bonasifie. Isn't that wonderful to see you? Amen. This man is a writer. Recently, he wrote a book, which he sent to me, and I read through. And I wrote a recommendation. And now I see him here. What a coincidence. This is a wonderful thing. And I wanted to say this word that he had in that book. He was speaking about the donkey that Jesus had sent out his disciples to go and untie. You remember the colt during the Passover? He says, the Bible says that that donkey was tied at the crossroads. And there, my brother says, that at the crossroad, you get to see a lot of things. At the crossroads, you see people who are blessed and those who are not blessed. At the crossroad, you see people who are carrying burdens and those who are walking free. At the crossroads, you see people who are going somewhere for a business and others who are loitering and doing nothing. At the crossroads, you get to see people moving on with their lives. But you yourself, you are not moving anywhere. You are at the crossroad. You do not have any hope. The court had no hope. The court had no, you know, there was no tomorrow for it. It was right there and it was stuck at the crossroad where activities are. Thus is with many children of God, that we are stuck at the crossroad. We do not know whether to go right or to go left. We do not know whether to go forward or to go backwards. You remember that Snow White's cat that, you know, Snow White was walking in the woods, and she did not know where to go when she came to a crossroad. And right there where she stood, she looked up and asked, which way do I take? And there was a cashier cat over there, and that cat looked down from the tree and asked Snow White, where do you want to go? And Snow White said, I don't know. And the cat said, then it doesn't matter. You can take any road, because any road will take you there. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. And that's the problem even with many Christians, that we find ourselves at the crossroad, but we do not know where we are going. And now we have circumstances, they push us to a certain road. And we find that it's okay, we can still go through that road. We can move on and walk with the crowd of the people who are going towards east and we wanted to go west. We can still move on forward when we were supposed to take a detour or we were supposed to exit. If you keep on going south on 83 and past 245, exit 245, you will not come to JMU, would you? You wouldn't. And that is what many people do. They just keep on moving, because they don't know where they're going. But God says, I want you to come back to me. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to do something different for you. Something that has never been done by anyone else in your life. Get out of your rut. Get out of your boring lifestyle. And come and be adventurous with me. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. There are many people who are also very adventurous with God. Their lives, I have really enjoyed working in KCFA, let me tell you. And my life has been, I would say, has been fulfilled as a result of serving here. When I travel, and I know that I travel out of my pocket, I still felt joy within my heart, because I knew that I was fulfilling the Great Commission, going out and making disciples for Christ. I knew that it is not about KCFA, but it's about Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. And when I traveled, I had the privilege of visiting many places that I never thought I would ever be able to go. That was also a blessing in itself. I met many people whom have blessed my life. I made many connections that have eventually proved to be very, very wonderful, you know, in terms of blessing. And I cannot regret it. So it has been adventurous. Since I have been out of the office for that 1 year, my brother, at times you find that I want to do the same thing that I used to do, and then I find that I don't have the means. The vehicle is no longer mine. I can't drive it the same way. And now your life starts kind of sliding down a little bit, and you feel like I'm not as adventurous as I used to be. And your life now kind of starts sliding. And I say, it is harder, my brother, not to be the president after you have been the president. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. It is harder. But I'm telling you this. You can be adventurous with God. Samson was adventurous. He had all this flamboyant relationship with God, and he was doing all sorts of things. There was no limit to the things that he could do. One day he carried the gates of a city on his shoulders. He did not just bring them down. He actually lifted them up from their post, not from the hinges. Akaziwekelea juu ya mabega. And he did not just drop them there. He ran away with them to the mountains. You try to lift up that door and take it outside. You tell me whether you can manage. He did things that no man can do. God endowed him with power. And he was able to do mighty things. His life was a life of excellence. There was only one problem. He was a selfish man. He did all things for himself. But let me tell you, one day his life came to a standstill. Now he could not have the same kind of fun, the same kind of enjoyment, the same kind of adventurous activities or events with God, because he made a mess of himself. But the one thing that I want us to know, that Samson, though he messed up his life and he came to a standstill and the adventures ceased, when the last time came, God gave him the opportunity. He messed up with his words, but he did exactly what God had commanded him to do all the years that he had lived. He said that you fight the Philistines and subdue them. He fought everybody else except the Philistines. Only once he fought with the Philistines. And then that day when he died, the Bible says that he said, "Lord, give me this one more chance to avenge myself of these Philistines because of the eyes that they took out of me." That is the mess that he made. But the Bible says that he killed more Philistines in his death than in his life. Let me tell you, this is someone, although his words did not conform, he's a man that was able to find his calling, and he rekindled it, and he accomplished his mission as the Lord had wanted. Praise the name of Jesus. God is saying that even today, your life may have ceased. Your adventures with Christ with God may have ceased. Your excitement in the service may have ceased. And now you are living in that mundane life. A life of inconsistency, a life that has no productivity. And God is saying that you can start enjoying again with me. You can come back and I can embrace you one more time. Things that you used to fear, you did not fear before, now those are the same things that are putting you to flight. When you hear a crack outside, you jump because you do not know whom you belong. You fear every moment. But God is saying, do not fear anymore. I am doing a new thing in your life. I'm giving you new strength. I'm giving you new knowledge. Amen. I'm giving you new understanding. I am giving you new abilities. I am giving you the power. Praise the name of Jesus. Do not fear. Then he says, now I'll be conscious of time. Now this is what he says. He continues another verse there, down there. He says on verse 3, verse 4, let's go on, verse 5. He says, verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and from the..." Now, what I want you to see here is that though the Lord may have called you, though the Lord may have pointed you and touched you and say that you are mine, you know you can go your way and the Lord may not be with you. But God is saying that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you take a detour, mimi nitakufuata tu, Bwana asifiwe. Isn't that what he says, that the psalmist says in Psalms 139? He says that even if I make my bed in hell, your presence is still there. Hallelujah. Popote niendapo. So let me tell you something. Many times we take a detour, and then we know for sure we have lost our way with God. And then we think, since we have lost our way with God, Mungu anioni, Sinilipotea njia, and it was a mistake. I made a mistake. That's the way you know boys used to do. Let me tell you what we used to do when we were in primary school. We go for the cross country and we hated it. And you know, and the cross country was really cross country. You are crossing countries, climbing hills, going down the valleys, and you are barefoot. And when you are running, you know, we used to have this teacher, tulikuwa tunamuita Master Dome, because Dome really knew how to domesticate you. And so, every time he will run ahead of us and he will put pegs, you know, he will make sure that we know where we are going to go. And what would happen is, you are running and then you take the wrong turn because you didn't see him. And then you think, I know I will be able to tell him that nilipotea. And so you take your sweet time and you take that shortcut and you get yourself to school ahead of everyone else. Then Dome, somehow, I don't know how he used to do this, but you will find him there. And then you will know where you are. Now you see, now that's the same thing we have, the mentality. We think that to keep kimbia, when we take a detour, we make a mistake. And then we think that Mungu hajioni, nimepiga Mungu chenga. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nimempiga chenga. Now he can't see me. And so because he can't see me, I will go and do everything that I need to do. Then I will find my way back before he finds out what I have done. It cannot happen that way. Ukipiga Mungu chenga, utamuona pale. Bwana asifiwe. He will be right there with you. If you lose your way, he will be there. And he will turn you back. Or he will try to turn you back. And then if you continue insisting, he will keep on following. And then the day you will say, I have lost my way. The Bible says, Isaiah 30, that you will hear a voice behind you telling you, this is the way, walk in it. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Your pit that you have been in for so long, the Lord is saying that you can get out of it. Bwana asifiwe sana. I saw something while I was in Kenya a while ago, and I know many of you probably have heard this. But when you are in a situation, you hear so many voices of people telling you the condition of your circumstances or what it is. They describe it. Others, they expound on it. Others, they probably try to enlighten you more on your situation. And they give you various things. And there was this thing that they used to call the pit. And I know many of you may have heard of it. And I'm going to quickly go through it, and then I'm going to finish here so that we can all go to sleep. This is what he says. It's called the pit. It starts with this, that a man fell into a pit and could not get himself out. He called for help. And then a subjective man, came along and said, I feel for you down there. And an objective man came along and said, it is logical that someone could fall down there. A scientist or Christian scientist came along and said, you only think that you are in a pit. A Pharisee came along and said, only bad people fall into a pit. A mathematician tried to calculate how he fell into the pit. A journalist came by and wanted to get an exclusive report on his pit. A yogi came and said, your pit is only a state of mind. A realist came and said that, now that is a pit. A scientist came and tried to calculate the pressure necessary enough in kilograms per square miles or per square meter to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata in that pit. An evolutionist said, you are a rejected mutant destined to be removed from the evolutionary cycle. So you are going to die in the pit, so that you do not produce pit-falling offsprings. An IRS agent came and asked him whether he was paying taxes on the pit. A public works department came and asked if he had a permit to dig a pit. A professor gave him a lecture on the elementary principles of the pit. An evasive person came along and avoided the subject of this pit altogether. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you have seen my pit." An optimist said, "These things could have been worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." A fundamentalist said, "You deserve your pit." A charismatic, like many of us, said, "Just confess you are not in a pit." An evangelical said, "You should be saved from the pit." And Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit and saved him. Amen. Let me tell you, I said earlier from the beginning that it doesn't matter what people say. Amen. If you are in a pit, you are in a pit. It doesn't matter how it is described. It doesn't matter how the necessary pressure enough to pull you out or what caused you to fall into the pit. It doesn't matter how bad the other guy is in a pit. It doesn't matter all these things. Praise the name of Jesus. The fact remains, you are in a pit and you need to get out. And when you are in the pit, you cannot accomplish anything. That is why God is saying, "I want to do a new thing." You must get out of your pit. Tell the person next to you, "You must get out of your pit." Because many people are not in a rat anymore. They went round the rats. Or rats. Or rat. Or rat. And they fell into the pit. Now you are stuck. God wants to unstuck you. He wants to push you and jumpstart you again. Praise the name of Jesus. Today we have been given an opportunity to really rekindle our relationship with God and get ourselves better to a position where He wants us to be. Praise the name of Jesus. There was this pastor in Zambia who made a very, very profound statement. And I think that all of us really need to know. Once we know who we belong to, then we'll be able to stand and say that we are not ashamed of whom we believed in. Amen. We are not ashamed. Because the singer sang a song and said that I am persuaded that he's able. And that is the scripture. To keep everything that I have entrusted unto him until that day. Praise the name of Jesus. God is able to do great things with us. If only we give ourselves totally, wholly, and fully for his service. And when we are totally given, then he will do every day a new thing for us. I don't want to live today. I don't want to live my life today the way I lived it yesterday. Yesterday, it may feel very comfortable because you know what it was. But God is not a God of yesterday. God is a God of now. Praise the name of Jesus. Everything that God does is new. He does a new thing every day. He says that his mercies are new every morning. So every morning you wake up, his mercies are new. Praise the name of Jesus. You cannot depend on yesterday's mercies. You cannot depend on the mercy that you experienced in the morning. You will have to experience mercies every moment, every hour, every minute. And God is available to be able to do that. You cannot deplete God. He is not a reservoir that gets depleted, that ukichota maji, utakuta sasa ninusu. He is not like that. Praise the name of Jesus. Our God is ever and ever and ever in filling and self-filling and self-fulfilling. He does things that no one else can do. You cannot draw out of him and deplete him. Yes. So the new thing that he does every day for us, it gives us the impetus and the power to be able to spring forth to the next thing and the next level. If you keep on doing the same thing, mundane things every day, every moment, if you keep on working the same place for years, I'm talking about myself. Because I have worked in my job for 15 years, and I got tired. Not KCFA, by the way, my day job. And now I'm feeling I'm tired, I want to move on. And that is, I was speaking to myself these words. You keep on saying that you want things to change. Now you have been here, although now in my company you find people who have worked there for as long as I have been alive. They just celebrate 40 years or 45 years in the same company. And I look at them and I say, wow, I don't know whether I'll be able to do that. And then I look at myself again and I see, I've been here 15 years. It is not going to be hard for me to be like them being here. And I say, I am tired. It is time for me to change. Do you know God will change your situation if you are willing to change? Do not continue to complain about your circumstance. Do not continue to complain about your condition of life. Do not continue to complain about the things that you can or you cannot do. It is because you have not discovered that God wants you to move from where you are to another level, to another thing, to another activity, to another event. You got to move forward. Praise the name of Jesus. And you need now to start kneeling down on your knees, going down on your knees, and start asking God, how can I make my relationship with you so good in a way that I will be able to know when you are about to do something that I'll be able to hang on to it as you pass by? I want us to stand up and I want us to pray. This man said, I am not ashamed because I have been sold out completely for God in the service that he has called me. Praise the name of Jesus. I am a man that have come in tune with Christ. I have been properly attuned to his spirit. And I know that when he speaks directly to me. I know when he tells me that it is time to turn, I can turn. It is time for me to move, I can move. It is time for me now to stop, I can stop. It is time for me to go ahead, and I can go ahead. And he said that I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power within me. The die has been cast. I have stepped out over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I will not let up. I will not let down. I will not back away. I will not be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. And my future is secure. I am finished and I am done with low living, sight walking, small planning, small needs, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence. I don't need prosperity. I don't need positions. I don't need promotion. I don't need plaudits. I don't need popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be the first. I don't have to be topped. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be praised. I don't have to be regarded. I don't have to be rewarded. I now live by in the present. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I live by faith. I walk in patience. I lift by prayer and I labor in power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear, I cannot be bought, I cannot be compromised, deterred, detoured, I cannot be lured, I cannot be turned back, and I cannot be diluted, I cannot be delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. He says, hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus, I won't give up. I won't let up. I won't shut up until I have preached up. I have prayed up. I have paid up. I've stored up. I've stayed up. I have lived up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns. I'll give until I drop. I preach until you all know and work until he comes. And when he comes, hallelujah. And when he comes to get his own, he will not have any problem recognizing me, because my colors will be clear to him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. I am not gonna give up. Praise the name of Jesus. I am a member of the fellowship of the unashamed. I'm not going to let anyone detour me. I'm not gonna let anyone deter me. I'm not going to let anyone dilute my faith. I'm not going to let anyone take me away. I'm not going to let anyone stop me from praying, from seeking the face of God, from doing the things that I need to do. I'm not going to let anyone cause me not to give. I'm not going to let anyone push me back, because I know for sure that I have been completely sold out for him. I am ready for him to do a new thing. New things are not easy to handle, my friends. New things are not easy to handle. It's called change. And change is not easy to handle. Every company is putting together a group of people that will help them with something that they call change management. so that every time there is a change in the industry or change in the society, or maybe product change or people's desires, they will be able to manage those change. Or maybe there's a change even in the structure of their management. They want to be able to manage those changes. And for us as Christians, we need change management. Praise God. We need to be a people that know that God is not just, he is constant, but he is not a stagnant God. He is not a stagnant God. He is not laboring himself, trying to get himself out of a situation. God is not held back by circumstances. He is not limited to time. He is not limited to space. He is not limited to any situation. God is the creator of time. He is the creator of the space. He lives outside of the space and outside of time. And whenever he does something, he will do it whether you like it or you don't like it. If you get flipped, if you get turned over, if you get lifted up, if you get dropped, if you get stumbled, he says that the rock Jesus Christ to some is a stumbling block, but to many, praise the name of Jesus, is a chief cornerstone. And I want to tell you, my friend, that you will not stop God from doing what he will do. When we see hurricanes coming, Then the rescuers tell us now it is time for you to evacuate. Run away. Do not look back. And then when that thing comes, let me tell you, everything in its wake gets cleared. And you cannot stand there and say that I cannot change. I cannot move. I cannot know. I don't believe it. And then when it comes, let me tell you, it will lift you up or drop you down. It will change you or it will completely destroy you. Let me tell you, my friend, God is moving. Hallelujah. God is not stagnant. I tell you. Buona sife sana. And because he is moving, when he starts moving with power, oh, my friend, do not be stuck. Do not be stagnant. Move with him. Hallelujah. Will you move with him? Will you be ready? Because as he changes things, he never changes himself, but when things change, he would like you to be able to change with him. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands unto the Lord for just a minute and ask the Lord, God, help me now to change. Do not let me be stuck in my situation right now. I have been here on this ground for a long time. It is moment. It is time for me now to break camp. It is time for me now to completely move my family. I'm gonna move my children. I'm gonna move my wife. I'm gonna move my husband. I'm gonna move my job. I'm gonna move my house. I'm gonna move everything. It may not be physically, but God wants us now to move a different direction. He wants us now to start looking in our lives in a different manner. He wants us to see a different perspective of our own lives and our circumstances, so that you may see that you are able. You are able beyond what you think. The things that you are walking on, that are piling upon you, you should be walking over them. Circumstances that are pressing you down, you should be jumping right over them. The things that are causing you fear, the Lord is saying that you are supposed to be standing strong and being able to fight against them. God is saying that you should not fear, because I have called you by your name. I know you. I know you even where you live, where you stay, in your coming home and in your going out again. God says that I know you. In your lying down and rising up again, I am the one that causes you to lie down. I am the one that causes you to rise up again. I am the one that gives you security when you go out. I'm the one that brings you back home. You cannot do it by yourself. Be serious with God for a moment. Evaluate your own life. If this is the moment that God wants to do something for your life, if this is the moment that God wants to make a change in you, why don't you just take it a little bit more serious and let him and tell him, God, I want to be changed. God, I want to be transformed. God, I want to be I want my name to be changed to a blessing, or to a blessed person, or to a person that has been lifted up, or to one that is able to slay the giants, or to someone that is able to cause joy and happiness to others. God can change your circumstances, and He is willing right now. I'm gonna pray, and I want to pray for everyone that is here tonight. That may God, I know each one of us are going through something that you'd love to change. Some circumstances that you really pray every day that I wish I can change this issue. I wish I can change this thing. But you are not able to. God is saying that I am well able to. I can do it for you. Just hand it over to me. Just step out of the way and let me deal with it. Let me unto this matter. Let me to this circumstance. Let me to this boy that has given you so much headache. Let me to this young lady that has given you so much heart. Let me to this husband that has caused you so much pain. Let me to this wife that has made you feel ashamed. God is saying, get out of the way. Let me deal with it. I am well able. I can do it. I am the one that is able to change your circumstance. I am the well able to make this old thing become new. You have struggled until you cannot struggle anymore. You have cried until your tears cannot come out anymore. You are completely dry. You cry yourself to sleep every night. But Jesus is saying, the time has come. I am going to do a new thing for you. Like that woman that had an issue of blood, it does not matter how long. God says that I am well able. Amen. I can do it tonight. I can change it for you. Circumstances will be different from now on. Wherever you go, you will find favor. Where people will give you favor, wherever you go. Where people have cursed you, you will be blessed. Where people have run away from you and shunned you, you will be embraced and received. Where people have held you in contempt, they'll be praising you. They will be praising you. They will be saying, look at him. He is so blessed. Where people think that you will amount to nothing, they will start moving out of the way so that they can see how far God will take you. Because God is not done with you yet. God is not finished. He is just beginning. He is just beginning. If you only let him. Are you going to let him tonight to change you? Are you going to let him tonight to give you a new life? Are you going to let him tonight to make your family be a habitation of the Spirit of God? Are you going to let him to make residence in your heart and in your life? Are you going to let him now invade your finances that he may help you to invest right? I know that I need that one. I know I need God to really visit with me so that he may change my circumstances. Financial circumstances. I know many people are dealing with those issues right now. I know that you are dealing with issues in your family that God, only God is able to change. He's saying, I'm doing a new thing. If only you can see it, if only you can perceive it, if only you can be, you are willing to open up. He asked the man who had lied, or who was lying on the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, would you want to be healed? Would you want to be healed? And he's asking tonight, are you willing that your circumstances be changed? Are you willing that I do a new thing in your life? Are you willing to change so that you'll be able to receive or be able to contain this change? God is willing. I want to pray with us. If you want the Lord to start dealing with you tonight and throughout this conference, let's start right now. Lift up your hand for a moment. If you are willing and you want God to deal with your circumstance, I know that I cannot pray better than you. But I do know that we can connect our faith and trust God together and believe for a miracle that God will change your circumstance, however dire, however mundane, however mediocre, however pitiful, however debilitating, it does not matter what it is. God is able and he is willing to change any circumstance. Lift up your hand to the Lord for a moment. I can see all those hands. And I know that this auditorium or this front will not be able to handle everyone. But I would like us now to stand and hold hands with every brother and every sister that is lifting up their hands. And we want to touch their lives. We want to infuse into them that change of God in them. I would like you to pray the most fervent prayer you have ever prayed, and ask God to come and intervene in the life of that brother, in the life of that sister. Be the one that is administer the grace of God to that brother, administer the grace of God to that sister. Lift up your voice right now, pray like you have never prayed before. Ask God as if this life depends on this prayer that I'm making. Ile ombi ambalo ninaomba sahi, this man, this person's life depend on this prayer. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a rescuer. I'm going to be the one that rescues this brother, rescues this sister. I want to bring her back. I want to bring him back to God, that he may experience the goodness of the Lord. I want him to experience the power of God. I want him to know that God is there. Pray like you mean it. Pray like you mean it. Pray like you mean it. Let the Lord start using you right now. Be the minister. Minister to that brother. Do not just stand there and look at them. Do not just stand there and hold their hands. Cry for this life. Cry for a change. Cry for change. Cry for change. Cry for change in their lives. Cry for their financial health. Cry for their investments. Cry for their jobs. Cry for their children. Cry for their wives. Cry for their husbands. Cry for their families. Cry for everyone that surrounds them. Cry for each and everything in their lives, that God may start working in them. Cry for their ministries. Let the Lord start using these ministries. Bar the ministry within them. Cause them to become servants and use them in places where no one else can go. Hallelujah. I still feel that there's something that needs to be broken tonight. There are times that we do so much. We do a lot of things. But I think our perceptions, our way of thinking, our way of thinking keeps us from receiving, keeps us from having that revelation on a daily basis. And sometimes we think that we know the mind of God, and we don't. And many times we are caught by surprise when things go wrong, because our minds are not attuned with God. And as we pray this prayer tonight, ask the Lord to renew your mind. Ask the Lord to help you to know when he's about to move, that you may be ready. Isaiah 54 verse 2 says that you extend your steps, expand to the left and to the right. Pull your curtains and make them wider, so that you may have the capacity
to receive that which the Lord is about to do. Many times he comes to do something, and our capacity is so narrow. It is so short, or it's just too shallow, that we will not be able to handle it. We can't handle what God is about to do. Because our perceptions, our minds are not attuned with him. As a man thinks, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. If you think yourself small, like the children of Israel who were sent as spies, they came 10 of them, and they say that we seemed like grasshoppers, not even to the Philistines, but to ourselves. We looked at ourselves and we looked like grasshoppers. Let me tell you, as you think, so shall you be. I want you now to start thinking big for God. Start thinking big about your life. Start thinking big about the ministry God has called you. Start thinking big about your finances. Start thinking big. I'm not telling you to be greedy. I'm not telling you to be gluttonous. I'm not telling you to start now going after prosperity. I'm saying that think big, that God may bless you according to your capacity. Extend yourself. Do not limit what God can do. Let him do it. And your mind is the only thing that can stand between you and receiving the fullness of God. Because our minds keep on telling us, we are not worthy, we are not right, we do not deserve it, it is not right. But it is right with God. God wants to do it. And he says that, I want to do a new thing for you, if only you are willing to receive it. Father, in Jesus' name, I am praying for my brothers and my sisters, that their limitations, oh God, will not cause them, oh dear Father, to limit your power. And the capacity, oh dear Lord, that which, oh God, they present before you, may it be extended as far wide as they can reach and beyond, that they will receive, oh God, the bounty from God, which is unlimited in nature. That God, none of us will walk in mediocrity, oh my God. We will not be grasshoppers in our minds, oh dear Lord, as we scour this land, as we go to places, oh God, that we spend our days, where we expend our energies, and where we spend our time, where we interact with the people, we will not seem as grasshoppers to anyone, oh God. Father, our minds will be attuned with you, that we'll be able to receive on a daily basis this brief, the briefs, the news of the power and the goodness and the might of God. Whatever you are doing every day, let us be there to experience it. Today you are doing a new thing, and we desire to see it with our own very eyes. We release ourselves into your presence. May the power of God work within us. Many who come into this conference, having not known you as Lord and Savior, won't you touch them? Won't you touch them, Lord? And give them, oh dear Father, a new name. Change their lives and give them eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And everybody say, amen. May God bless you.